House worshiping the Lord, experiencing God's presence. Hallelujah. If you've come prepared to give tithe and offerings, just want to bless your finances and pray over that. So Father, we just thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Lord, bless your people. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, brings increase, brings prosperity into our lives, and we just pray for that blessing to be upon your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to congratulate my son Samuel. He graduated from Portland Bible College yesterday. It was almost 4 years of very, very hard work and study, traveling back and forth, coming back on the weekends to serve here at the church on the worship team. So we are very proud of him, and I know the Lord has some great things in store for him. Hallelujah. And he worked his way through school on his own. Paid for his own school working at Les Schwab down in Portland. So I was very happy about that. Well, I want to finish a message I started actually several weeks ago. And we have some different guest speakers, and so I'm just coming back to finish this message, the benefits of God's Word. And I was going to show you a video. I'm not going to show you that because it's 7 minutes long. And I thought, well, it's a little bit too long, but I'll just tell you about it. I saw this video of a guy. He called himself LT. I guess that was the initials of his name. And he's about 40 years old. He had fallen on hard times. He had been in an accident. He had severely injured one of his feet, and he had to have it amputated from about here down. And he was living on disability, him and his wife, and they were living on, I think it was $850 a month that they were living on. That's all the funds that they had. And they were struggling, of course. You would, on $850 a month. Struggling just to put food on the table. And one day he was watching the show Antiques Roadshow. Anybody ever seen that before? He was watching that show, and there was a guy on there that had a Native American blanket that was woven back in the early 1800s. Well, he didn't know that at the time, but he took the Antique Roadshow, and they determined that this was an authentic Native American blanket. Goes way back, early 1800s, this thing was woven, and it was worth, the guy estimated, the expert estimated about $500,000. Well, this LT was watching this, and he's looking at that blanket. He said, I got a blanket just like that, that had been passed down to him. So he took it to some antiques dealer, expert. They looked it over. They authenticated the fact that this was one of those very old, ancient, 1800s types blankets. And the guy estimated, well, this is at least worth $100,000, maybe $200,000, or it could go for a little more at auction. So they needed the money more than the blanket, and so they decided to take it to this auction. Well, the auctioneer, he started off at $100,000, and quickly somebody raised their card. $200,000, somebody raised their card. Who would give me $300,000? Raise their card. Well, it went on up. Went up to $1 million. Then 1.1. Who will give me 1.2 million? Somebody raised their card. 1.3. 1.4. Finally, $1.5 million. Somebody raised their card. And that blanket sold for $1.5 million. Now, LT, he had had this blanket in his possession for a number of years, been passed down from relatives. Number one, he didn't understand the value of that thing. And number two, once he did understand the value of it, it literally changed his life. I want to tell you about something that every single one of us have in our possession, and usually multiple copies of it. And unfortunately, too many of us are like LT. We don't understand the value of it. But if we finally get to the place we understand the value of it, guess what? It'll change your life too. There's a guy in the Bible named David that understood the value of it. He said, the scriptures that I have, he only had 5 books of the Bible, the first 5 books of the Bible, maybe a few prophetic writings. He said, the scripture that I have is worth more to me than all the finest gold. Now, David was a wealthy man. He had a lot of gold. He donated a ton of gold, probably almost literally, actually more than that, to build the temple. And his net worth was probably well over several billion dollars in today's worth. But he said, the scripture that I have, Genesis through what, Deuteronomy, is worth to me more than all of this gold and all the world's gold combined. He understood the value of the scriptures. And so we're looking at several benefits of reading, and not just reading, but internalizing the Word of God. And I hope today to stir up your holy appetite for the Word of God. Just to stir something in you that will make you want to go home and get into the Word of God like you never have before. Now, I've already covered four of these benefits, but I want to quickly just review them for those that might not have been here. Number one, the first benefit is that the Bible feeds your spirit. Did you know that your spirit, you have a spirit? You don't have just a body, not just a mind, but you have a spirit. And if you're a Christian that's been born again, and it needs food, it needs nutrition. And this Word of God feeds your spirit. It is spiritual food. Jesus said, man lives not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's this word right here. Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah said, when I discovered your words, I devoured them. And they are my joy and my heart's delight. The Living Bible said, your words are what sustains me. They are food to my hungry soul. You need to know that our physical appetite and our spiritual appetite don't work the same way. Your physical appetite, the way it works, the less food that you have, the hungrier you get. The more appetite you have. Just don't eat for a day, and I'm telling you, your stomach's going to be screaming at you, right? Put some food in me. Well, guess what? Your spirit works just the opposite. The less we eat, the less of an appetite that we have for the Word of God. And that's why it's so important to feed yourself every day and keep that appetite stoked. It's like stoking fire, putting wood in the furnace. Just keep that. And I think Jeremiah said, your word is like fire shut up in my bones. The more we feed on that Word of God, it'll set our hearts ablaze, set our hearts on fire. We will love Jesus more. We will be more passionate in love and be ready to serve God. The more food, spiritual food, we put in our spirits. Number two, the Bible will guide your steps. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let's just say you had to cross a large field that were full of landmines, explosive devices. And I gave you a map that told you exactly where all of those landmines were, so you could successfully navigate through there. Would you take that map and put it on the shelf and say, well, I'll leave it there. I might look at it sometime, but I'm just going to try on my own. I'm just trying to try to work my way through this on my own. Well, guess what? You're probably going to be blown to smithereens. And by the way, I've never figured out where smithereens is. I mean, is that in the U.S. somewhere? Blown to smithereens. Is that out of the country? I think it means in little pieces, right? I'm not really sure. But anyway, you're not going to make it without that map. No, you're going to get that map out. And you're going to study it every step of the way. Every time you're about ready to take a new step, you're going to study that map to make sure you are going in the right direction. Well, guess what? This book right here is a map that will help you avoid the landmines of life. It will help you avoid the detours and the dead ends of life. You can avoid a whole lot of mistakes that people make that land them in places of pain and misery simply by reading this word on a regular basis, using it as a map for life. You know, somebody said the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, stands for basic instructions before leaving earth, right? This is how we live successfully in life. And guess what? You don't have to learn everything the hard way. My dad used to say, and he was a very wise man, he said, I'm not going to live long enough to learn everything the hard way. So he said, I'm going to learn by the Word of God, and I'm going to learn by the mistakes of others. How many think that's a pretty wise strategy, right? You don't have to learn everything the hard way. Here's the third benefit. The Bible brings healing to your body and to your soul. Psalms 107:20 said, he sent out his word and it healed them. The Word of God has the power to heal your body if it's sick. Proverbs 4:22, my words are life to those who find them, and health, in the margin it says, medicine to one's whole body. So listen, if you're dealing with a physical issue, a health issue, I want to encourage you to do something. Take your medicine. Take your medicine. If the doctor prescribed you medicine for a physical problem, and you take that home, and you put that medicine bottle in your cabinet, and you never open that cabinet, and you never open that medicine jar, and you never take that, well, whose fault is it if that medicine does you no good? That's your fault, right? Well, it's the same with this medicine. Whose fault is it if we keep dealing with a physical issue, you know, day after day, week after week, month after month, when God promised that His Word will bring healing? It's our fault if we don't get into it and take our medicine. And I think if you really have an issue, you ought to take it more than once a day. Try taking it three times a day. And let that Word bring health to your body. Here's the fourth benefit. The Bible guards you against sin and temptation. Psalms 119, verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Psalms 119, 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So, young people, if you want to avoid temptation. Now, this works for old people too. Come on. But he's talking to young people about sexual purity. And it's not that old people can't be tempted in that area, but young people, that's when the hormones are surging, right? And there's some real temptation that's coming your way. And God is giving you some great instruction. He says, take the Word of God, put that in your heart, and it will help guard you against that temptation. Doesn't mean temptation is not going to come. It will come, but if you got the Word of God in your heart, then you can pull that out at just the right time and say, devil, I'm not going that direction, because this is what the Word of God says, and I'm going to live according to God's Word. Amen? All right, so we're into new territory today. You still with me? Here's the fifth benefit of reading and feeding and internalizing God's Word. It will bring success in every area of your life. Success. Not just by reading it. I'm talking about internalizing the Word of God. Now, I know some Christians, they have a problem with words like success, words like prosperity. I don't. Because it's in the Word. In fact, the word success is in the Bible 51 times. So apparently God doesn't have a problem with it either. God is not opposed to you being successful. Not just financially. But I'm talking about relationally, on the job. I mean, I'm talking about every area of your life. God is not opposed to you being successful. In fact, He wants you to be successful. God is a good father. And every good father wants their children to be a success. I want all my children to be far more successful than I am. And I'm pretty sure they're going to be. They're a lot smarter than I am. So I'm pretty sure they will be. And God's no different. But so many times people disqualify themselves from success because of something they perceive is lacking in their life. Well, they say things like this. Well, I could be a success if I just finished college. I could be a success if I had a different job, or I lived in a different location, or I had a different skin color. I was born in a different family. But the truth is, when God's on our side, really none of those circumstances matter. In Genesis 39, is the story of Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. And he was bought by a military commander named Potiphar. So here he is. He's a slave in a foreign land to this guy named Potiphar. And it seems the least likely place for anybody to be successful in life. How can you be successful when you are a slave serving in somebody's household in a foreign land? It just seems like, how can you be successful in these less than ideal circumstances? But Joseph was successful. Genesis 39, verse 2 says, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. Everybody say prospered. And he lived in the house with his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and listen, that the Lord gave him success in everything that he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes, and he became his attendant. Underline that phrase. The Lord gave him success in everything that he did. The Lord gave him success in everything that he did. Potiphar put everything that he owned under the care of Joseph. All of his business dealings, his entire estate, he just took his hands off. He said, Joseph, you take care of it, because I see that everything you do, God's in it. Your God is in it, and there's blessing that comes. And so I'm just backing off, and you take over. That's success. And why was he so successful? Because the Lord gave him success. And guess what? The Lord wants to give you success as well in every area of your life. Not only does he want us to have success, he actually shows us how. We're going to get into a verse here that really unpacks how God can help us be successful. Joshua 1:8. Many of you know this verse. It says, the book of the law, this book of the law, right here, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know what good success is? Good success is success that comes from the Lord. It's success that God brings. He opens up doors of opportunity. It's success that God initiates. Now, I know the world can have a type of success. They can be successful financially, perhaps, or successful in a lot of other ways. But many, many times, most of the time, if a person isn't serving God, their success comes without God being in the center of it. Their success comes at a very high price. Many times people pay a very, very high price for their success. And a lot of times that success is their own family. They sacrifice their marriage. They sacrifice their children. They sacrifice a lot of times even their health to gain that success. How many know that's not good success? God wants us to have good success. Proverbs 10:22 in the Amplified said, the blessing of the Lord brings true riches, and he adds no sorrow to it, for it comes as a blessing from God. That's the kind of success I want. Now listen, God wants you to have success. He's not interested in you being weak and poor and sick and defeated and miserable and joyless. I mean, that's not what God wants for his kids. He doesn't want your relationships to be a mess. He doesn't want your bank account to be overdrawn. God wants you to be a success in every area of your life. Now, a big key to that is internalizing the Word of God. And Joshua 1:8 tells us how to do that. Number one, I want to pack this verse for us just for a minute. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from what? Your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Speaking God's word will position you for success. Would you say that after me? Speaking God's word will position you for success. Words are containers of power. Somebody say amen. God created the universe by speaking words. And guess what? He gave us the authority to take his words and to put them in our mouth and to speak them out and to release the creative power that's inherent in God's word. The power to accomplish God's word is already in his word. It's just like the power to grow a tomato is already in the seed. All you got to do is get it in the right atmosphere. Just get it in the right environment and germinate that thing, water that thing so it germinates, and pretty soon the power that's in that seed will begin to spring forth and produce. It's the same thing with the Word of God. The power to produce every promise in this book for you in your life is already in the Word. And all we got to do is get it in the right environment, that's our heart, and then just begin to speak it out and release it like God spoke. He said, let there be light, and light happened. He sent his word and it healed them. There's power when we speak God's word to release the creative power in that word to bring back to us the very thing that we're asking God to do, to release the promise, to release the power, the provision of God's word, whatever you need. That's in God's word. God wants you to have it. He's just waiting for you to take that, put that promise in your heart, speak it out of your mouth, and release the creative power so that it comes into your life. You hearing this? You're looking at me like a calf at a new gate this morning. Like, this is, what is this guy talking about? This is powerful stuff. This is kingdom principle. This is how the kingdom of God works. The world doesn't work that way, but this is the way kingdom works. He gave us authority to take His word and speak it out, to release that creative power. You know, psychologists tell us that we believe more of what we say than what anybody else says. That's why somebody can tell a lie for so many years, that eventually they come to believe that lie. But we can take the word of God and speak that, and it begins to internalize. We begin to believe the word of God as we declare it and declare it and declare it. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus, talking about words and the power of words, Jesus said this in Matthew 12. He said, I'll tell you, you're going to give an account on the judgment day for every idle word that you have spoken. I'm going to pause and let that sink in for a minute. We're going to give an account as we stand before Jesus on the day of judgment for every idle word that we have spoken. I looked up the word idle in the dictionary. I kind of had an intuitive understanding of it, but I just wanted to look it up. In the dictionary, defines idle as not working or unemployed. We're going to give an account before Jesus for every word that we spoke that was not working, that was empty, that was void of power, and that was unemployed. How many of our words are not working for us? How many of our words are unemployed? How many of our words are just void of any kind of life and power? And what a waste when God has given us the privilege of taking His word and speaking that out and releasing the creative power. That's in the Word of God. Jeremiah 1:12 in the Amplified says, the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am, listen to this, actively watching over my word to fulfill it. That's what God says. I'm actively watching over my word to do what? Fulfill it. God's actively watching over His words to fulfill them. The question is, does God have anything to watch over in terms of the words that's coming out of our mouth? You're a quiet bunch here today. Here's a second, what's going on to this verse. Digging a little bit deeper. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. Everybody say meditate. So we need to keep it in our mouth, but also we need to meditate on the word day and night. So meditating on God's word will position you for success. God wants you to have success. How do you get it? This is part of it. Meditating on the Word of God. Why does that make a difference? Because it will change the way you think. It will get rid of your stinking thinking and help you begin to think like God. And the Bible says God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. As far as the heavens above the earth, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We need to bring our thoughts up a little bit. The more we think like God, the more success we're going to have in every part of our life. The more you think like God in terms of your marriage or in terms of your finances or your time or your career, the more you think like God, the more success you're going to have. How do we think like God? We got to meditate on God's word. We got to internalize it. This is like, I don't know of anything more powerful in terms of opening your heart up and putting the word of God in than meditating on it. Meditating on the word of God. Christian meditation is the practice of filling our minds with the words and the wisdom of God and allowing His Word to transform our thoughts and even our behavior. Now, I know a lot of people think of meditation, think of Eastern religions, and Eastern religions, they do meditate. Their idea of meditation is emptying your mind and somehow connecting with the cosmic mind and reaching a place of nirvana, wherever that is. What a bunch of garbage. My thinking is if you empty your mind enough, then Satan's going to come along. He'll be happy to fill it with all kinds of lies and untruths and garbage. But Christian meditation is not just emptying your mind, it's filling your mind with the truth, filling your mind with the Word of God. The word meditate comes from the Hebrew word haggah, and it means to reflect, mutter, ponder, or contemplate something. It's like a cow chewing a cud. He chews that food, swallows it, brings it back up, chews it again, gets some more nutrition, swallows it, brings it back up. Choose it again. That's exactly what we do when we're meditating on the Word of God. Or it's like dipping a tea bag in a hot cup of hot water. And you dip that in and that water absorbs a little more tea. You dip it again, that water absorbs a little more tea. Same thing with the Word of God. Every time we meditate on it, reflect on it, ponder it, we are soaking that Word into our hearts where it feeds us. And it strains out our thinking, and there's so many good things that happen with the Word of God. I had an experience, I should say, this morning, even just meditating on the Word of God. I got a text pretty early, about 6:30, from a guy named Mark Jones. He's been here, spoke a couple times, and he just texted me. I saw him yesterday at Samuel's graduation. We said hi, so I guess I was on his mind. But he texted me this morning, said he was praying for me. And then he shared a verse out of Psalms 23, out of the New Living Translation. Now, I memorized Psalms 23. I love that Psalms. It's one of my favorites. I meditated it, thought about that, that passage many, many times. But I've never read it in the New Living Translation. And so, as I read that verse, I just got my phone, opened my Bible app and found the New Living Translation, Psalms 23, and I just read through that. In fact, I read through it several times, and then I went back and just began to meditate on every single verse, and man, it was powerful. I mean, honestly, just to tell you the truth, I've been pretty weary this week. And part of the reason is I haven't slept well. Every once in a while, it doesn't happen often, every once in a while I go through a season where I just have struggle sleeping. And this was one of those weeks. I slept till about 2 o'clock, just about every day. I got a good night's sleep last night, thank God. But, I'd wake about 2 and just be awake most of the rest of the day. And so, you know, that gets to you after a while, wears you down. I was pretty weary. And so I was reading this, and man, there was just scripture after scripture about God bringing refreshing and renewal to our soul and making us to lie down in green pastures of tranquility and peace. And as I meditated, I don't know how it happened, but as I meditated on that, it's like God was infusing His strength into my inner being. You know, there's a great exchange that happens with God when you get into His presence and we get His Word into us. He takes our weakness. He takes the bad stuff out and puts the good stuff in. I don't know how He does it. I don't care how He does it. Doesn't matter how He does it. I just know that He does it. I've experienced it time and time again, and I experienced it today. I'm telling you, I'm a different guy right now than I was before I went into my quiet time this morning because of the meditation on God's Word and the strength and the vitality that's in the Word of God begin to infuse into my spirit. And it lifted off some heaviness and put some strength back into me. And I don't know about you, but sometimes life has a way of taking it out of us. And you think, if I just had a 3-week vacation to Honolulu, man, I'd be a new man. But what we need more than that is the refreshing and the renewal and the vitality that comes by the Holy Spirit breathing upon the Word of God and infusing that into our inner being. Hallelujah! Woo! Man! The Word of God will lift you up and pick you up and keep you going. You know, the book of Daniel says the enemy seeks to wear down the saints. It's just one of the strategies, one of the things he wants to do is just wear you down. Wear you down. Wear you down. But we have a solution. We just get in our private time. Hallelujah. We sit down with the Lord and we open up the Word of God and we just begin to feed upon the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God. And that life comes out of the Word into our soul, into our spirit, and renews us and revitalizes and refreshes us. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. What would we do without the Word of God? You know, successful people have always meditated on God's Word. In Genesis 24, Isaac went out to meditate in the field. When Mary received a word from the angel that she was going to be the mother of Jesus, the Messiah, the Bible said that she pondered that word. That's another word for meditation. She meditated on that word. When Paul wrote to Timothy and gave him instructions for godly living, he said in 2 Timothy 2:7, reflect. That's another word for meditation. Meditate, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. In other words, he's saying, I'm giving you the Reader's Digest version, but if you take and meditate on this, God's going to unveil and unfold and just give you all kinds of revelation on top of what I'm even saying right now. And God will do that for you. The Holy Spirit wants to unveil the Word of God to us. He just wants to give us revelation after revelation after revelation. And then the Scriptures goes on to say that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. The key word there is do. Doing God's Word will position you for success. And really the first two aspects, speaking God's Word, meditating on God's Word, they really all lead to the third aspect, and that's doing God's Word. Because it's not going to do you a whole lot of good to speak God's Word or meditate on God's Word if you never get around to doing God's Word. James says we need to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only, because if we just hear and we keep on hearing, we never do, then we are going to deceive ourselves. We're going to move into a place of deception, and that's not a good place to be. All right, here's the sixth benefit. My final one today of internalizing the Word of God. The Bible will reveal the true condition of your heart. And you're thinking right now, I don't know if that's a benefit or not. I don't know if I want the condition of my heart revealed. Yes, you do. You actually do. You may not know it, but you do. It's important. The Bible is referred to as a mirror that allows you to see the condition of your soul. There's no other book like it on the planet. And it's very important that we understand the condition of our heart, understand the condition of our soul, because if we don't, guess what? Our heart can lead us in the wrong direction. Our heart can lead us in the wrong direction. God's Word is going to do three things for your heart. Number one, God's Word will expose deception in our heart. It will expose deception. Jeremiah the prophet, he said the human heart is very, very deceptive. I know we don't like to think that. My heart, my little heart, I got a good heart. My heart can't be deceptive. Well, yes, it is. If you're human, then your heart falls in the same category as the rest of us. And the Bible is very clear. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. You are quiet today. The human heart... the human heart... Oh, I love God's Word. The human heart is most deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, I search all the hearts and I examine secret motives. And I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. You know, people will say, follow your heart. Especially young people that graduate from high school. What do I do? Follow your heart. That may be some of the worst advice you ever give somebody. Depending on what's in their heart. That may lead them in an absolute wrong direction. You know, the tendency of the human heart is to deceive us. We think that we are doing okay spiritually, but we're not. We think God is pleased with our lifestyle, but He is not. We think that we have dealt with the bitterness and the judgment that we have had toward a family member, but we have not. And we justify our sin and minimize our faults. Why? Because the heart is prone to deception. And the problem with deception is that you can think you are right, but you are 100% wrong. How can that be? You're deceived. It can happen to the best of us. And without God's word, that deception would never be exposed. Secondly, God's word will expose wrong motives. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joints and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires of our heart." Another version said, God's message shows us what we are really thinking. It shows us what we really want. Man, we can tell people. Well, I mean, you can say all kinds of things. You can fool anybody, sometimes even fool yourself. But God's word shows us what we really want. Phillips' version says, God's word exposes the very thoughts and motives of a man's heart. Everybody say motives. Motives. This is one of the greatest benefits of God's word, is to expose the motives of our hearts. Motives is the thing that motivates us. It compels us in a direction. And I've watched people be driven through life with motives that they didn't even know what was driving them. They had motives in their hearts that were compelling them in a direction. They were following a course of action based on motivations in their heart, but they consciously were never even aware of what those motives were. I've watched people be driven by rejection. I've watched people be driven through life by fear. I've watched people be driven by lust and by greed. I've watched people be driven by a performance mentality where everything they do, they're trying to earn, they're trying to prove basically to themselves, I'm a person of worth, to themselves and everybody around them, I'm a person of worth. And maybe they were told growing up, you're not a person of worth. And so now they're driven by this internal motivation that I've got to prove to myself and I've got to prove to everybody that I am a success, I am a person of worth, and everything they do is driven by, they're not called people, they're driven people. There's a difference between being driven and being called. I mean, God calls all of us. We are called. We have a calling to do something. But we are never driven. Holy Spirit doesn't drive us, I should say. The world will drive us. Our internal motivations will drive us. But God never drives us. He leads us. And without the revelation of God and the Holy Spirit, people can be driven by these motivations all of their life and never really know it. I am so thankful for the Word of God to expose our motivation, to expose the intents of the heart, these internal things that can be hidden, subconscious things that never seem to really pop to the surface. But the Word of God is like a mirror that can reveal those things to us. Now listen, this is important to know. God never exposes our heart to shame us. He only exposes our heart to free us, to protect us, to deliver us from those things. And then third, God's word will correct us. Second Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for four things: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word brings correction to us. I know most people don't like correction. They don't enjoy correction. But listen, this is a huge benefit to us, for the word of God to bring course correction to our lives. God loves us the way we are, the way He finds us, no matter what condition you're in. But He loves us too much to leave us that way. He will bring course correction into our life because He loves us too much to let us keep going down that wrong pathway. You know, the most unloving thing that you could do is raise a child in your home without correction. Just to let them, you know, raise themselves, do whatever they want, and never bring correction in their lives, they will grow up unfit for society. I'll tell you what's going to happen there. And we see that all over. I mean, you look at the violence in the streets. I mean, likely these are a lot of, I know the statistics, a lot of them in the prisons. They're from broken homes. They're from homes where there wasn't any guidance. There wasn't any correction. Wasn't any loving discipline. And they grow up and they just go nuts. And you actually see it in the schools today. I talk to teachers quite often, it seems like. And they tell me that, the classroom is almost unbearable. Public schools, almost unbearable anymore. Kids are out of control. They can't even control their classroom anymore. Kids don't understand. They haven't been corrected. They haven't been disciplined. And our Heavenly Father loves us too much to leave us in that condition. He disciplines those He loves. Come on now. He will discipline those He loves. How many want God to love you? Well, you're gonna have to go along with the rest of it and let God discipline you. Let God correct you. And listen, God uses several different ways to correct us. Sometimes He'll use family members to bring correction into your life. Woo, we don't like that, do we? We don't like it when those family members start rubbing us the wrong way. Iron sharpens iron. Sometimes that iron is sleeping in the same bed with you, living in the same house with you. He'll bring correction from other church members. Sometimes He'll bring correction from church leaders. And boy, we really don't like that, do we? No one enjoys correction, but we need to appreciate it. We need to receive it because people correct us because they love us. That's why correction comes. They love us. They want to protect us. They want something better for us. They correct us because they see that we're living in a blind spot. And listen, everybody has blind spots. Come on now. Tell your neighbor, I've got a blind spot. And so do you. Probably more than one. And listen, I think the church needs to do a better job of this. I think we need to do a better job of bringing loving rebuke and correction through the Word of God. But unfortunately, sometimes we'll let people wallow in their blind spot for years. Why? Well, because I don't want that person to dislike me. You don't want to risk rejection. And so you just let that person just wander down the wrong path and never intervene and never bring the Word of God and say, listen, son, I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says about your lifestyle here, about your behavior, about how you're treating your spouse, how you're raising your kids. Listen, another way the Lord corrects us is with His Word. And I've had it happen many times. I'm reading along, and all of a sudden the Word of God jumps off the page and pierces my heart like a dagger. I've had the Lord correct me in a whole bunch of ways. One of the ways God corrected me had to do with my anger management, or lack of it, I should say, in times past, and which particularly manifested just in my home for the most part. But sometimes leaked out in other ways. But the Lord began to deal with me, and the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. One day, this is a long time ago, I was reading along in Proverbs, and it said this: a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man calms himself. And the Lord was speaking to me. He said, David, you're acting like a fool in front of your family. And you need to grow wise and learn how to calm yourself before you have an interaction with anybody. Take a walk. Go chop some wood. You go do whatever you got to do until you calm yourself and get yourself in a right mind so that you can communicate with love and wisdom. And it took me years to learn that. And God had to hammer it out of me. And I unfortunately affected my wife. I affected my children in negative ways. And I had to go back and repent for that. And, pray that God would bring healing in their life as a result of that. And praise God, I think He has. And they're all doing good for the most part. But the Word of God will correct us. I've had God correct me about my work ethic. I'm reading along in Proverbs. Proverbs will get you, man. Whew. And I've... I'm not doing it right now, but for many, many years, I read the Proverbs of the day. There's, what, 31 of them? Or is there 30? 31? 31 of them. There's one for every day of the month. So what is this, May 18? So you would be reading Proverbs 18 a day. Well, I was reading along in Proverbs chapter 6, and you read something like this. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler. Nobody's telling it what to do. Nobody's saying get up and work. Nobody's goes, you know, go mow your lawn, go wash the clothes, you know. Go clean up the dishes in the sink. Nobody's telling you to do that. The ants, nobody's telling them what to do. They have no commander, no overseer, or ruler. Yet it stores up provisions in the summer and gathers its food in the harvest time. So God began to speak to me. He began to correct me. He began to work on my work ethic. Say, you know, you need to be a person of productivity. You need to be a person who uses your time wisely. Manage your time wisely. Most important treasure that we have is our time. Never get it back. You know, those seconds, we talk about wasting time. What would you do? I'm just killing some time. Well, what a waste. There shouldn't be a moment in our day that we're wasting, that we're killing. Now, that doesn't mean we need to be working all the time. There's times that we need to be recreating. There's times that we need to be resting. There's times that we need to be worshiping. But we need to be using our time wisely. Amen? So those are just six benefits of internalizing the Word of God. There's so many more. It increases your faith, straightens out wrong thinking. It's a weapon against the enemy. It'll bring peace to your soul. It'll make you wise. In fact, Dave said it'll make you wiser than your teachers. It'll help you understand the character of God. It'll ignite fresh passion in your spirit. It will sustain you in hard seasons. It will give you hope. And we could go on and on. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand this morning. You know, in LT's house, he had this Native American blanket draped over his chair for years and never understood the value of it. And so it never had an impact on his life. I'm praying with all of my heart and soul that every single one of us in this house, under the sound of my voice, will begin to understand and fathom the amazing value of this Word. And that we will begin to commit more time to it. I want to encourage you. What kind of commitments? Think about this. You're going to leave this place. You're going to go back to work. You're going to go back to whatever you do during the week. What kind of commitment can you make to the Word of God? You don't have to tell me. That's between you and God. But I want you to think about that just for a moment. Think about your schedule. Think about how much time that you've given to the Word of God. What can you do? What adjustments can you make in your schedule, your weekly schedule, to commit more time to being in the Word of God and letting God's Word get in you? You know, the Word of God's not just about information, it's about formation. Yeah. It's about letting the Word form our character so that we become more like Jesus. That's the end goal, folks. Why are you here? Because God has a plan to make you more like Jesus. Yeah. Think like Jesus, feel like Jesus, act like Jesus, be motivated like Jesus. And this is the amazing tool that God has given us in that formation process of becoming more like Jesus. We can't do it without the Word of God. Now, we need the Holy Spirit. We need one another. But we also need the Word of God. And so many folks, you know, they eat three physical meals a day and one cold spiritual snack a week on Sunday morning. Hopefully it's a little bit more than cold, but you know what I'm saying. Smith Wigglesworth was a very powerful man of God. And he had this practice. Every time he ate a physical meal, he would take the Word of God out and have a spiritual meal. And as a result of that, he raised 3 or 4 people from the dead. You're not going to do that feeding on People magazine. You're not going to do that. You're not going to raise the dead. You're not going to heal the sick. We got to get into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Before we close, is there anybody here today that you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life? If you were to pass away today, you don't know where you would go. You'd hope you go to heaven. Everybody hopes they go to heaven. Most people say, I'll go to heaven because I'm a good person. But good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. Born again people go to heaven. Anybody here today, you'd say, Pastor, I don't know. If I were to appear before Christ at the gates of heaven, He asked me, why should I let you in? I don't really have a good answer for that. Raise your hand. Like, let's just bow our eyes just for a moment. Bow our heads, close our eyes. And if that's you, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you today, and you need to have that assurance before you walk out of this place. Raise your hands, I'll pray for you. I'll lead you in a prayer. Holy Spirit will come and begin a transformation in your life. Anybody here? Maybe we're all Christians, but I'll give you just a moment. Maybe it's just a recommitment. You know the Lord, you've been in church, but you know you've got away from Him. You're not really serving Him. He's not really the center of your life. You're not really giving a whole lot of time to the Word of God. Anybody today? Somebody's pointing. Oh, you're raising your hand. Okay, I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. See that hand. Hallelujah. Several. See that. Thank you. Hallelujah. And that's just as important as the recommitment. We're just getting back on track. I know it's easy to get kind of turned away from the things of God. Life pulls us in a different direction. We get our priorities mixed up. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. He just keeps drawing us back to the Father. Keeps drawing us back. And the Holy Spirit's drawing you back to the Father today. I want to tell you one of the most important things you can do is just get into the Word of God. And then plug into church. Keep plugged into fellowship. Hallelujah. Well, let me lead you in this prayer today. If you raise your hand, all of us, in fact, just say this prayer. Heavenly Father, I confess my need for You and for the Holy Spirit. I have walked away from my commitment. Please forgive me. I need You in my life. I want You to be the center of my life. I need You leading and guiding me every day. Forgive me of all my sins, all my wrong priorities. Come into my heart. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a fresh love for You, a fresh love for Your Word, a fresh love for prayer and worship, and a fresh love for fellowship in the house of God. I commit to serving You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. It's been good to be in God's house. Don't forget the spaghetti feed. Support those teenagers. Lord bless you. Have a great Sunday afternoon.